Welcome to the best 5 minute wine podcast with Forrest Kelly.
Let's meet our guest.
Mylon Martin here with the Free Spirits Company. And it was just one of those things that was super shaped me as a person.
The best 5 minute wine podcast.
All right. So before we get into Free Spirits Company and what it's all about, tell us a little bit about, like, you were on a first date, and tell us about you.
Yeah, I grew up in a small town outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and I kind of one day stumbled onto the advertising industry after I graduated school, kind of fell in love with that business. And I ended up doing, 20 years in the advertising business. I moved to New York, started as a, super junior guy, got the heck beat out of me for a couple of years, and then, started to kind of get it and worked my way up to be a senior partner there, got some global assignments, worked, outside the country. And it was just one of those things that was super shaped me as a person, personally, and as a business person, really opens your eyes to, kind of that weird duality of, both how people around the world are wildly different from each other and wildly the same, to each other. And, it's a creative business. It's one that ultimately teaches you how to use this kind of elusive thing called creativity, to create value, to solve problems. And, kind of at the end of that advertising career, I was running an agency here in the West Coast, and I just realized it was kind of halftime in my career, and I'm like, you want the second half to look like the first, or do you want to do something totally different? And I just decided I want to do something totally different. And, my little insight was, advertising is a work hard, drink harder business. And there was more than a handful of times where I was overserved, to put it politely, over the course of my
we'll get into that. But right now we're talking about your background. Right. Now, when you say small town, I grew up in a small town in Idaho, and it was I was in the big city of about 20,000 people, but the surrounding areas near me were less than 1,000. Yeah. So when you say small town, how small outside of Philadelphia?
Probably, as I look back, probably 12,000 or so.
Okay.
I think it had a small town feel to it because it was just that area is so provincial. Like, you live in certain parts of the world where there's people from all over the world, and you meet people from different countries, and there's expat community and all that kind of stuff. Whereas I don't think I'd met anybody who lived outside the country until I was, in college or maybe even after,
Yeah. Now that I think about it, I never really thought about that, but same here. Yeah. Everybody I grew up with never left the town or the zip code or the area.
Exactly.
Yeah. So once you got out of there and you went to New York, was there a moment when you thought, okay, like you were saying, okay, there's a split here. I think I could do this. I could do this better.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. There was never a moment where I thought I could do it better. I was on the road of for the majority of my career of, oh God, I don't belong here. Everybody here is smarter and more interesting than me. How do I just, hang on for the ride and pretend like I belong? For 12 years in New York, especially the early days, it was just kind of work hard, try to learn things, be humble. And, I was exposed to a world that I didn't know existed before, in terms of just, friend groups and professional groups of people that had lived lives that, were just super interesting. And I just embraced it, man. I embraced it for what it is. And I think for me, I'm somebody that's always kind of said, you live life once, like, do it big, do it, make it as extraordinary of a life as you can. And, again, not to jump to the, to the end, but it's like, gosh, for me, living it, for everything it was worth meant, just really, really embracing the drinking culture and spending a lot of time out at bars and restaurants. And that was, ultimately that was a red thread throughout life and, and the business at the time.
So now when people go to the website is drinkfreespirits.com. What exactly kind of a real, just a couple, three sentences, what does that mean? Drinkfreespirits.com.
Also, it's the name of the brand is Free Spirits. And in all honesty, freespirits.com was not available. We sell drinks. So that's how we ended up with the URL of drinkfreespirits.com. But yeah, we make non-alcoholic spirits, tequila, bourbon, gin, Amaros. And we also make non-alcoholic pre-made cocktails in a can. Honestly, man, it's a really good question. We've kind of run this thing like a software company because...
The best 5 minute wine podcast.
According to the national media, for the television commercials, you have to have fun. Everybody has not got a care in the world. And if you take alcohol out of that equation, in your mind, what happens?
You're preaching to the choir, man. I think my stump speech has always been, you know, being a part of that advertising world, man, the advertising industry spends billions of dollars a year working to convince you that alcohol is the magic ingredient in having fun, in relaxing, in treating yourself, in mourning, all those key moments in life.
Yeah, yeah, mourning
and,
even.
You know,
you said mourning, and that's like, yeah.
I'm not an anti-alcohol guy. I still drink. You know, our brand is not anti-alcohol. It's just kind of this notion of if you want to have a good time and do all these things, alcohol needs to be the star player, the quarterback. Our thing is like, well, maybe alcohol doesn't have to be the quarterback. And frankly, what if alcohol wasn't the star player of every great cocktail? Like maybe some great cocktails, and some cocktails are low alcohol and some are zero alcohol. But ultimately, I think the phenomenon that led me to the idea was just we've all experienced that time of being out with great friends or colleagues, and you're having a couple cocktails, you're drinking, you're having a great time, the conversation's energetic, and you blink your eyes and all of a sudden you've had four cocktails, when all the while it wasn't necessarily alcohol or being drunk that you were after, but you know, the idea of drinking a cocktail is so much more than the liquid. You're like, ooh, where's the bourbon from? What's that new place that I heard about in Kentucky? Where's what kind of bitters did they use? And it's the story of all that, and it's why I think we as people are super happy, irrationally, to pay $20 for a cocktail, which at the end of the day is nothing more than 3 ounces of liquid. But ultimately, I think we rationalize it because we go, hey, it's about the experience, right? You're buying the experience of where all those magical ingredients come from and who mixed it up and where are you and all of that. So our whole thing was, yeah, all that's wonderful, but what if alcohol was optional, or you know, you had this imaginary little dial that said, yeah, some cocktails are going to be full on, some are going to be none, some are going to be somewhere in between.
And putting this whole thing together, just off the top of your head, what kind of ballpark number are we looking at that you've run taste tests on your products?
What kind of ballpark number? Oh, how many different iterations have we been through?
yeah, exactly. Putting this together.
My God. Honestly, man, it's a really good question. We've kind of run this thing like a software company because early on, there's no playbook for how to make non-alcoholic tequila free. Right. There was, you know, there's no instruction manual. And so, you know, I think our first version of it was okay. It wasn't great, but we're on versions that the public knows about, version 15 or 16. I mean, for our versions, we're thousands. But, you know, you got to run up being when you're doing something as unique and as new as this, you have to kind of be comfortable with the idea that, you know, perfect is going to kill your business. You're never going to launch if you're just waiting for perfect. And so we kind of got to a place where like, hey, this is pretty good. And then a couple of months later, we landed on an innovation. We figured out how to distill a certain flavor in a more effective way. Great. Let's work that in. And all of a sudden, 5-6 years later, if you try our tequila right now, it's a reposado style. I think, you know, most people are pretty darn pleasantly surprised. Whereas, you know, 5-6 years ago, maybe less so.
Just like the beef industry has gotten pushback with vegans. And then if you tell somebody you're a vegan, they, you know, they tilt their head and you think you're crazy or something, but things are kind of softening now with that whole thing. So yeah. We offer our product and it's the same, basically the same, but...
Yeah, exactly. And I think similar to, you know, the alternative meat, you know, category, or even the, you know, the alt milk, the nut milk category. Yeah. Ours is a category, not necessarily, we're not targeting sober people, just like the alternative meat category isn't targeting exclusively vegans. It's like the majority of people that buy and drink, or sorry, that eat alternative meat, still eat meat. They're just kind of looking to cut down their red meat thing. Yeah. And in our case, you know, 95% of our customers are still drinkers.
Yeah.
And so this is not a play of like, you know, gosh, we're targeting the AA community or the sober community. This is much more of a play of, hey, if you love to drink as much as we do, you know, drink more and drink better and live better. And, you know, don't throw away your weekend just because you're having a big Friday night. And you want to get to the top and elevate the moment with a really good cocktail, alcohol or non in our case. But you're not going to bring 750 milliliter bottles and shakers and all that kind of stuff.
The best 5 minute wine podcast.
Yeah, one of my favorite expressions I've heard lately is it's called zebra striping, right? And so you have an alcoholic beverage, you know, if you're drinking margaritas, you know, you drink a margarita made, you know, with alcoholic tequila, and then you have one made with free spirits, and then you go back and you have one with alcohol, and all of a sudden, you know, at the end of the night, you go, gosh, I've had 8 cocktails, you know, or 6 cocktails, but I feel fine.
So let's go through your product line, which is quite extensive. So we've got everything from canned products to...
Yeah, so where we started, and really where the majority of our business is in the 750 milliliter non-alcoholic spirits. So we've got a non-alcoholic bourbon, you know, bourbon style whiskey. We've got a gin, which is a Plymouth style. So yes, juniper in focus or in nature, but really with a sharper focus on the citrus botanicals. Got a reposado style tequila. And then we've got what we call our Milano, which is our Italian aperitivo, you know, call it a kind of a somewhere between a Campari and, you know, a different kind of Amaro. And then we've got a sweet vermouth. And, you know, the rationale there is, you know, we just want to make sure our customers can make all their favorite non-alc cocktails, you know, with stuff that we have. And, you know, some of the biggest cocktails, the most popular cocktails these days are things like Negronis. So, you know, needing a sweet vermouth, needing an Amaro, needing an Italian aperitivo and a gin and things like that. And obviously margaritas are really popular. And then we do have a line of 4 ready-to-drink cocktails, non-alcoholic craft cocktails in the can. And the rationale there is just, it's just kind of, you know, it's a different occasion. You know, it's like if you're out on a hike and you want to get to the top and elevate the moment with a really good cocktail, alcohol or non in our case, but you're not going to bring 750 milliliter bottles and shakers and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, I think that was a part of the rationale. And the other piece of it was, you know, not everybody's great at making cocktails. And so, you know, how do we make sure that, you know, the first time somebody tries our products, they're getting a great experience versus, you know, if they're getting our stuff and they're mixing up a bad cocktail, ultimately they go, oh, this stuff tastes terrible. And you're like, nope, you just made a bad cocktail. So, you know, how do we ultimately kind of, you know, it's going to de-risk it a little bit by kind of, so we make a Negroni, a margarita, a espresso old fashioned, and a Kentucky mule.
You started this when? When you first got the idea and you put it in your brain and you started talking to people, when was that?
Yeah, so probably halfway through 2019. And, okay, you know, we got to a place where, you know, the advertising business teaches you how to kind of see patterns in the world. And, you know, yeah, I kind of saw that pattern in myself of, well, gosh, you know, I like to drink cocktails, but, you know, what if alcohol was optional? And so I landed on a name pretty quickly. And a lot of times people say, well, gosh, it must be scary taking the leap from a big, comfortable corporate job into this thing. And ultimately for me, it wasn't really that much of a leap. I kind of tricked myself into it. You know, yeah, it's these little small steps of, all right, I've got the idea. Let's come up with the name. All right, I came up with the name. Let's, you know, come up with a early prototype of the liquid and let's figure out a bottle. And it's kind of one of those things where ultimately it's like you're at the beach and you kind of tiptoe your way into the water. You keep going and all of a sudden you look back, you're like, whoa, the shore is really far away.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that, you know, we got far enough into it and, you know, the thing started based on a gut, you know, feeling, but then all of a sudden the market really started to shift and the validation of, you know, the market research and in addition to the sales that we immediately started seeing kind of, like I said, validated that there's an idea here. And then, you know, you have all the hard conversations with your wife around things like, hey, we're gonna go all in on this. We're gonna, you know, let's make sure we make these decisions together. And because it is a huge undertaking to build a consumer brand and a business, and it's harrowing, and there's sacrifices to be made. I'm really fortunate. My wife has been there the whole time, and she's kept a really good job. So in the early days, when I wasn't paying myself, we could, you know, put food on the table and healthcare and all that kind of stuff. And now that it's started to mature, it's starting to pay off a bit. Yeah. You have to be very careful about, you know, the kind of people you let into your, your chicken coop. The Best 5 Minute
Wine Podcast. So if you were on Shark Tank, who would you like to make a deal with?
I wouldn't do a deal with any of those guys.
Those sharks.
No, I can't. I kid around a little bit. No, it's interesting. You know, I think ultimately that's one of the things you got to learn in this business is I never knew that starting a business in the beverage space, you needed to become kind of an expert in investment banking. And, we've made tons of mistakes of, taking money from the wrong people. There's nothing better than a good investor, and there's nothing worse than a bad investor. And, your question about Shark Tank, I'm sure most of those folks are terrific, but you have to be very careful about, the kind of people you let into your chicken coop.
Right, exactly. Because not everybody's got the same vision that you do, and they want to compromise on things. And it's like, no, I don't want to compromise there. So I'm going to hit you with some questions here. Okay, so looking here at a tweet here, it said, is it all natural?
It is all natural. There's no artificial anything in there. You know, it's all natural flavors. Our flavors come from, the agrarian sources of, American corn and Mexican agave or, European juniper. So it all comes from the earth. And, the only thing that exists in ours that doesn't really exist in an alcoholic beverage is, we use in the spirits, we use some preservatives to keep it fresh. Because I think one of the most interesting things that I found early days, and it's an obvious one now, but everybody thinks about alcohol as an intoxicant, and it is. But there's a reason that your bottle of bourbon can sit on the shelf forever, 30 years, 50 years, 100 years. Because alcohol kills everything it touches. And so, without that to preserve it, you have to have other things in there. So ultimately, ours is all natural, and, we preserve it to make sure that it, stays nice and fresh in your kitchen.
So then with the natural ingredients, you're not using saccharin for sugar.
No, I've always been somebody who is very sensitive to that saccharine flavor.
I hate it too. I don't eat anything.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
No, I'm like, people that drink Diet Coke, for example, God bless them. I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't like that flavor profile. And so, we use vegan cane sugar, and some people have a problem with sugar. Our point of view of it is an alcoholic margarita has about 450 calories. Our margarita has about 65 calories.
Whoa.
So yeah, there's sugar in it, but ultimately we compare yourself to an alcoholic beverage. People don't realize how many calories, for example, are in, in an alcoholic beverage, because the TTB, which governs the alcohol world, doesn't require them to list nutritional facts, whereas we are governed by the FDA, and we do have to, disclose that. Glad, happily we do, because it's a good story to tell.
Wow. So a couple of margaritas and you're almost touching 1,000 calories, or a couple of yours and you're under 200.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a big difference. Of course, it's gluten-free, right?
Yep. Gluten-free and vegan and
Okay. Now, the non-alcoholic, on some things, they allow a certain percentage in there. So when you, so non doesn't necessarily denote zero, right?
Yeah. So the way that the U.S. government defines non-alcoholic is anything that is less than 0.5% alcohol. And so, there's some shades of gray of non-alcoholic versus 0.0. Our product is non-alcoholic, so there are trace amounts of alcohol in there. And, oftentimes when people go, "Oh no, I don't drink alcohol," it's pretty interesting to share that, the average banana you know, has more alcohol in it than, you know, an entire bottle of our stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So, you know, orange juice and things like that, you know, alcohol naturally occurs, but we're not fermenting, you know, adding alcohol. It's just, you know, it's in there as a natural carrier.
So I'm noticing on the labels that there's vitamins. Is that right? Tell me about that, huh?
We've always just, you know, had a point of view that, you know, a cocktail, you know, is this multi-sensorial experience, right? You know, I think, you know, yes, you've got the nose and the flavor and the mouthfeel, and you've got the bite and the burn of alcohol. And we replicate that with bespoke concoction of spices. So when you take a sip of our tequila or, you know, make a cocktail with it, you get that kind of proxy of the burn. But your question around, you know, the functional benefit of free spirits is, yeah, like a cocktail has a functional benefit. I would argue it's a dysfunctional benefit of, you know, intoxication. So instead of alcohol, we infuse our liquid with vitamin B12, in addition to a couple of other vitamins, B6 and B3. And really the intention there is we started with a bunch of questions that were like, hey, what if having a cocktail was a uplifting, healthful experience versus kind of what we know it to be, which is, you know, not so much when there's alcohol involved. Everything that stands in the way of success is ultimately something that's going to propel your success.
Best 5 minute wine podcast.
Okay, one of the last questions I have for you. Well, let's reiterate drinkfreespirits.com. drinkfreespirits.com. And we'll get your thoughts on how to navigate the website and how to do all of that in just a second, but the last thing I want to ask you is now that you've got this product out and people are buying it and loving it and reordering and things, and you're making money and things are looking good. If you could go back in time to when you were first starting it out, you were much younger back then, what advice would you give yourself?
I would convince myself to not take things so personally, and to know that, you know, everything that stands in the way of success is ultimately something that's going to propel your success. You know, I think too many times in the early days of this thing, every big existential threat we faced, I saw as the big existential threat. And I've just kind of come to realize that, you know, especially, I mean, this is in life in general, but certainly when it comes to, you know, this entrepreneurial journey, staying in the game, not quitting, is the number one, the single most important thing that you can do to ensure success. And I just, I used to just think in black and white, like existentially, like everything's trying to kill us. When the reality is that, you know, that deal that I didn't get wasn't the right deal. And ultimately, you know, a year later, we got a, you know, a better deal, or, you know, that investor that didn't invest was not the right investor. And, you know, I think ultimately I would have enjoyed the ride more if I had, well, the now me or somebody more wise helping me understand that, you know, that failure is not the end. Failure is the beginning of almost everything.
That's a good attitude to have. I can definitely say going to drinkfreespirits.com, it is very simple. I have been trying to buy a car and going through navigating websites with all, oh my gosh, it's just, come on, people. Can you make it easy?
Yeah.
Just make it simple. So going to your website from that perspective is so nice. So encourage people to not only try your product, but to go to your website and give us some advice as we say goodbye, and thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me, man. This is fun. And yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, if you're somebody that, you know, likes to punctuate social occasions or a night, you know, even if it's just a Tuesday night, elevating a Tuesday night with a great margarita or an old fashioned or a Negroni, you know, even if you're just sitting there, you know, on Netflix, or if you're hanging out with some friends, a great cocktail just makes the, you know, that situation, you know, ever more special. And sometimes those occasions are, you know, ones where you want to have some alcohol. Some are not. Some are, you know, where you have a little bit. And so, you know, I think, you know, what you find at drinkfreespirits.com is you know, a bunch of options that allow you to do all those things we talked about early days, you know, in the conversation, you know, celebration, relaxation, just enjoyment of life with a cocktail, but done in a way that allows you to say, yeah, I'm going to do that. And I'm not going to, you know, mess with having too much alcohol, and I'm not going to deal with a hangover, and I'm going to have these delicious cocktails and live a healthier life.
If somebody just wants to dip a toe, they're a little bit nervous, what would you recommend that they buy for as a starter?
I am inclined to recommend the Spirit of Tequila, which is our Reposado tequila alternative, and a really nice margarita mix, or as simple as our tequila, you know, our non-alcoholic tequila with some lime juice and agave nectar, and you're all set. Really nice to talk to you, Forrest. Thanks again.
Oh yeah, blow that horn. And you can like and follow us on our social media and join in our collaborations on Insta, X, you know where. The Best Wine Pod. The Best Wine Pod.
The Best 5-Minute Wine Podcast. Please like.